those who don't know, our study in the afternoon has been following Jerry Bridges' book, The Disciplines of Grace. We're on chapter 8 that's titled Dependent Discipline. I've split that chapter up into two different times for our studies. I'm going to look at a very specific exercise or a very specific discipline of grace, and that is the discipline of prayer. You might remember that last time I used the illustration that Bridges had of an airplane. Maybe Joseph and Renee can... do you remember how the airplane worked?
Yep.
It had two wings. One wing was dependence, and the other wing was discipline. If you think about an airplane flying, that doesn't fly very well with one wing. It needs both of those wings. This is all of grace, even our discipline is of grace, so we depend on Him. That discipline that we have is a dependent discipline, and they do work together. The question that I'll start off with, and the central idea that I'll set before you today is, how then can we grow in a conscious sense of dependence on Christ? The first answer that I'll give to that is through the discipline of prayer. In fact, we could say that prayer is a tangible expression of our dependence on Christ. There are two passages in Psalm 119 that I'll invite people to read. If someone would read Psalm 119, verses 33 through 37, and then someone else take verses 11 through 16. I volunteer for those two passages. Jonathan, you want to take that first one, 33 through 37? Who'll take 11 through 16? Rachel? Good. Let's have Psalm 119, 33 through 37, and think of it and listen to it as a prayer of dependence.
Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law, and observe it in my heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my ear to your testimonies, and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things, and give me life in your ways.
We often look at Psalm 119 because of its focus on God's Word, and rightfully so. But listen to, or think of those verses again, or if you have your Bible open, just look through and tell me some of the words that are descriptive of dependence that you see there.
Lead me.
Right, so he's asking for guidance or to be led. We depend on God to give that guidance. Teaches as a related request. We're wanting instruction in the way we should live.
Give.
Mm-hmm. You know, all of these words are very powerful words. We call them imperatives. We're doing more than ask. We're desiring this of God. So when we say give, lead, teach, all of these are in a sense, urgent imperative of our dependence upon God. Anything else? I especially like that idea, incline my heart to your testimonies. That inclination of our desires and our lives to follow after Him. Psalm 119 has this sense of a desire for and a pursuit of holiness that we would be following after God. Keep that attitude going. Let's hear verses 11 through 16.
Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
These verses also continue with that attitude of dependence, but there's also a sense of dedication that the psalmist speaks of here. He often says, I will, I will, I will, and describes his pursuit of holiness or the disciplines that he uses as a means of accomplishing that holiness. When the Bible speaks of prayer, it often has in mind a simple and yet profound appeal to God. It often has in mind the idea of being in need, and so asking for something. You just can't get away from that most basic understanding of prayer. Many times prayer will, or studies on prayer will lead us to think of different aspects that we voice our worship to God. You might think of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, those that acronym ACTS that describes kind of the full nature of prayer. But you can't get away from just that very simple aspect of a prayer of being in need and of asking God because of that need. That's a position of dependence. It's one that really does express a childlike faith in God to be able to and to delight to provide for His children. The children here know exactly who to ask if they are in need at home. They go and ask Mom, or they go and ask Dad if they need help. That's the same type of attitude that we have in prayer. We know exactly where to go because we are dependent upon God. This is caught, I think, very well in the Shorter Catechism of the Westminster Shorter Catechism when it answers the question, what is prayer? Where's my class? Well, I won't put you on the spot. Nathan and Susanna are just now learning the answer to this question. And the answer is that prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God. It's an old-fashioned way of saying we need something, and so we ask God for it. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ, by the help of His Spirit, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. Right at the very heart of that, there's this dependence on God to provide for us. In the pursuit of holiness, that dependence is especially needed. We depend upon God to lead us in our growth and in our practice of holiness. Within that is this basic idea of communication. I'm going to develop that quite a bit today, this afternoon, just because I think it's a very helpful way to think about prayer, to think about it in your mind as communicating with the living and true God. I found this quote by John Calvin that I thought was very good. He says that prayer is a kind of conversation between men and God by which they gain entrance into the heavenly sanctuary and personally address Him on the strength of His promises, with the result that in their distress they see that they have not vainly believed in His word alone. Communication really is very essential to this subject of prayer and essential to the idea of dependent discipline. I make this point because I think all too often we'll approach prayer mechanistically. By that I mean, if there's a machine, a machine repeats an action over and over again, so that if you do something, something regular happens. If you put the key in your car and you turn the key, what happens?
Turns on.
Yeah. You turn the key on your car and your engine starts. If it doesn't, you're in trouble. A machine is that way. You put something in, you get something out. It's possible to approach prayer just as a mechanism. I want something. I say something. I get something. That's not conversation. That's superstition. It's ritual. The Bible will lead us to examine some of the instances where approach to God was that of only ritual or only mechanism. We'll look at that in just a moment. Think about prayer as a conversation. It assumes several things. It assumes that God is real, that God is alive, that He is interested, that He is able to answer, that He's willing to answer. It assumes these things. Conversation assumes these things. Have you ever been on your phone when the conversation gets dropped on the other side? Kind of an awkward feeling, isn't it? You may be going on and on about something, and then you ask, can you come and pick me up? I'm stranded. Hello? Hello? Is anybody there? No, nobody's there. The call has been dropped. Well, that's because the conversation has ended because of the cell phone being dropped. Prayer that is conversation approaches God, assuming that He is there, that He hears, that He's connected. Another aspect of treating prayer mechanistically has the idea of, if I do this, then God is obligated to do that. If I pray this morning, if I ask for it, and if I say the magic words, in Jesus' name, amen, then it will happen. It's kind of like magic. Last time I taught about prayer, I remember comparing it this way. Husbands, try treating your wife this way for a couple of days, that all you have to do is say the right thing and say the magic word of please, and then you get whatever you want. It doesn't work that way. You will the wives looked confused at me, and all the husbands were looking at, if you don't engage in a conversation with your wife, if you don't engage in really connecting with them, then you're treating your wife just as a machine that you're wanting something out of, and that you think you can manipulate by saying the right thing or using the right words. Instead, when you think of your relationship with God, you want to talk to a person that you love. It's like a husband and wife. You get together with your friends. You talk. I know that Abigail, when she gets together with her friends, there's a lot of talking that goes back and forth. It's shared. It's not a one-way thing. There's a lot of back and forth that happens. You want to know what's going on in their life. You want them to know what's going on in your life. And guys, you may get together and you may not talk a lot, but you connect. You connect maybe on a different way, and you want to connect in another. You want that connection. You may think that you'd be just fine all by yourself, but that doesn't last very long. As manly of a man as you can be, you need and you long for some type of companionship. In prayer, there is communing together. There's conversation together that takes place. It really is descriptive of dependence on God, of loving dependence on God. Because of that, we use Scripture in prayer. We want to hear from God. We're depending on Him. So as you pray, read your Scripture. Read the Bible so that you're understanding the way of holiness and the way of discipline. Think of what we read in Psalm 119 of the psalmist says, I will learn your testimonies. I will learn your law so as to know that path of holiness. I will depend upon you. Speak to God as you've listened to Him. Tell Him of your desires, of your needs. In fact, God says that He gives His Spirit to help us to do that. Romans 8:26-27 is the next passage I'd like somebody to read. It describes the way the Spirit moves us. And again, hear this as an expression of our dependence upon God. Who will take Romans 8:26-27? Okay, Sam?
Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
This is a wonderful passage that oozes that sense of communion with God. God Himself dwells in our hearts so that we're prompted to pray. And sometimes there are times when we can't even find the right words, and it's described here as groanings that can't be put into words, but are still descriptive of true prayer. On the other side of that, you might think of Matthew 6, where the example of somebody who goes out onto the street corner and prays with grand words and long, complex thoughts, but that not being true prayer. He's instead trying to show off or trying to get attention and does not communicate with God. Matthew 6:5-6 would be that passage you can look up on your own. So prayer especially expresses a dependence upon God. As you look at it from the concept of conversation and of communicating those needs, it is especially expressive of our dependence on Him. You might also can't find the reference here. Think of Isaiah, where the prophet condemns the children of Israel for approaching God ritualistically, or mechanistically, again, if you want that word. They have proper worship, but they have not approached the living God. Take out your paper here. We don't have time to dig very deeply into these. I wanted to call your attention to two of these. The first one is number three. I wanted to encourage you to set a time for prayer. Those things that are important to you, you will very definitely spend time in. And it's a practice of your dependence upon God to then discipline yourself to pray. It may be that you don't have a time set aside that I'd encourage you to consider that, to think of a time each day that you can give to the discipline of prayer. Then look at number five. when someone asks, "How may I pray for you?" Consider taking time to answer that on an intimate level where appropriate. By that I mean this. This comes from the Christian counseling website that's about prayer. Just a longer quote, but I found it very instructive, and I'll close with this. It says that the Bible's prayers are rarely about health, travel, mercies, finances, doing well on a test, finding a job, or the salvation of unsaved relatives. Of course, these are good things to pray for, but they are a minor emphasis in Scripture. Even so, these topics typically dominate most church and small group prayer requests. They easily miss the real action of God's dealings with His beloved people. In contrast, the driving focus of biblical prayer asks God to show Himself, asks that we will know Him, asks that we will love others. It names our troubles. It names our troublesome reactions and temptations. It names our holy desires. It names our God, His promises, and His will. When someone asks you, "How may I pray for you?" imagine the impact of responding in a manner such as this. "I've had a lot on my mind lately and have been inattentive and irritable to those nearest and dearest to me. Please pray for me that I will awaken and turn away from my preoccupation with work pressures, recreations, health problems, or money. God promises to help me pay attention to Him. Ask Him to help me remember and focus. Ask Him to help me to take my family and other people to heart. Pray that I will take refuge in Him when the pressure is on. The Lord is my refuge, but I've been taking refuge in TV and food." This kind of prayer gets things that matter on the table, things that matter both immediately and eternally. We often ask, "How may I pray for you?" And I hope that you will ask that. And I hope that you do answer with things that are important to you on all levels. It is appropriate to ask for prayer for health, for classes, for tests, for travel, for things like that. But as I say here, consider taking time to answer that on a more intimate level. Why is it that those tests are difficult for you right now? Have you responded well or poorly to that? Where it's appropriate with someone close to you, ask for them to intercede for you. You might repent where necessary, or learn dependence through that trial. Express as this example gives, express the promises of God that you've been meditating on, and how those are helpful to you in this circumstance. This can't happen every time, and there are different levels of intimacy that are shared. But as appropriate, really take to heart this number five that urges you to take time to answer on that level of intimacy. Close with one question. That last one says to answer that way where appropriate. Do you understand the connection between the immediate presenting need and the opportunity to speak of things that are deeper in your life? Does that make sense? Kind of a yes-no question, not a very good discussion question, but any questions about that? I'll invite you to bow in prayer as we close today. Lord God, You are good to us. We're thankful that we can come to You as to a Father who cares for His children. Lord, in our dependence, we pray that You would be teaching us more and more how our prayers can cause us to be deepened in our faith and to be deepened in our pursuit of holiness. Lord, do we want our lives to be marked by a pursuit of Your ways? We confess, Lord, that oftentimes that we follow our own designs and our own desires. God, forgive us for forsaking our first love and instead following our own delights. Lord, in our prayers, may You be teaching us more and more what it means to be in a conversation with You. As we designate time to pray, may it be a rich time of meeting with You, hearing You speak through Your Word, and then pouring out our hearts to You. And Lord, I pray that as we share this Christian walk together, that You would be giving us opportunity to share on a deeper level with appropriate individuals. We might be able to tell them what we're struggling with, but also to enlist help and to speak of the hope that we have in Your promises. Oh God, deepen our dependence and further our disciplines. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.